Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of the Powers Court Friday Fix. I'm Justin Griffiths, a partner at Powers Court, and I'm delighted to be joined by Harry Eccles-Williams, a senior lawyer at our client Mishcon Dorea, who are one of the UK's most prominent law firms. Harry is an expert and self-confessed obsessive on the UK's online safety bill, which is currently making its way through Parliament and is expected to become law later this year. Harry has kindly agreed to talk us through the bill and the potentially far-reaching implications it will have for businesses and internet users alike. Harry, good morning and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Justin. Thank you very much for having me.
So, Harry, if you were to summarise the UK's online safety bill, how would you do that? What is it in a nutshell?
Well, I think it's once-in-a-generation legislation, potentially, which could make our society a much more pleasant place to live in.
So the government's clearly aiming high, then. They're pitching this as a real game-changer, aren't they? A world-first, as they call it, in online safety, a milestone in the fight to protect people online and in the ability to hold tech giants to account. But with everything, I guess, the devil's in the detail, and there's lots of detail in this bill, isn't there? I think one of the original architects, Professor Lorna Wood, referred to this as being a gorilla, given its size and scope. What do you make of it, Harry?
I think the first thing to say is it is a world first, and the UK government really is leading the way on this issue. You know, people will have different views as to whether it goes too far or not far enough, but in my view, the UK should be congratulated for trying to tackle what is this seemingly impossible issue of addressing online harms, which so far we have failed to properly deal with. I also think that the description of it as a gorilla is quite a fair one. I mean, including explanatory notes and impact assessment is over 400 pages long. It's highly complex, perhaps unnecessarily so, but dealing with the issue of online harms was never going to be simple. The aim of the bill is, as I say, is to reduce, ideally eliminate, but realistically reduce online harm. It is targeted at social media companies, so the Meta, Twitters of this world, but also any other platform that hosts user-generated content or any search engine. So it's pretty broad, and it divides harm up into sort of criminal harm, harm to children, and harm to adults. And there are very strong requirements on companies in relation to criminal harm and harm to children, and less strong on the harm to adults. And this is the sort of lawful but awful, as it is known.
And that lawful but awful phrase that you've just used, I mean, is that referring to things like online bullying, for example, which isn't necessarily illegal, but obviously very hurtful to individuals involved?
Exactly. It's sort of any sort of unpleasant content, but which doesn't quite meet the criminal threshold. And I think that there's a lot of content that we see online that's really quite nasty, that's probably quite distressing to receive, but that ultimately isn't quite bad enough to be considered criminal.
And it seems that there are very severe penalties proposed for those who fail to abide by these laws, aren't there? Including substantial fines and even jail time for tech executives. So on the face of it, this thing seems to have real teeth, doesn't it?
It does have real teeth, and of course the fines for tech executives is what has grabbed the headlines and is also what has probably got quite a lot of people fairly excited. And it's true that if, for example, an executive were to knowingly provide false information to a regulator, they could go to jail. In addition, the regulator can impose fines of up to 10% of global annual turnover. So I think for Meta last year, that would have been in and around $10 billion, or up to, you know, for smaller companies up to 18 million, but whichever is higher. And it also gives Ofcom serious powers to investigate and to require the provision of information from companies. And these are powers that simply don't exist here or anywhere else.
And that image that you've spoken to around tech executives effectively being carted off to jail, it's certainly a headline grabber. But how enforceable is it, actually? You know, platforms are multinational, multi-jurisdictional, certainly the larger ones. So how can the government actually enforce the laws that it's proposing here?
Well, I mean, as to the criminal sanctions, that's not at all clear. And more broadly, The bill claims that it gives the regulator extraterritorial power, but in reality, it's very difficult to see either the US, for example, handing over any of its executives for jail time in the UK in relation to these issues, or allowing the enforcement of very large fines. And that's particularly the case because they take such a different approach to issues of freedom of speech and privacy there, which I think mean enforcement would be really difficult.
And interestingly, we've talked a lot about the big platforms like Meta, but the scope of this bill extends way beyond them, doesn't it? As far as I understand, there could be something like 25,000 or more companies that could find themselves in the crosshairs of this bill.
Yeah, I mean, the official impact report suggests about 25,000 companies will be impacted. Our estimation, and that of everyone I've discussed this with, and those on sort of with very differing views on the merits of the bill, is that the scope will actually be much, much larger than this. And in any event, there's going to be a large number of companies that will need to consider whether or not they are in scope, even if they ultimately determine that they're not. So there is going to be a real impact on business here, and that is unavoidable.
And what sort of companies are we talking about here, Harry? I mean, we've spoken about any company that is effectively allowing the exchange of user-generated content, but what sort of businesses are out there that would be affected?
Social media companies will clearly be in scope. There's no doubt about that. There will also be, you know, many other different forums, dating apps, smaller social media companies, etc., which are, again, clearly within scope.
Interestingly, this bill also puts requirements on social media firms to protect journalism and democratic political debate on their platforms. Any news content, though, understandably, will be completely exempt. But how significant is that? I mean, should we be looking at this as a new weapon for the government to fight against fake news, for example, or interference in elections, that sort of thing?
Well, as you say, the bill requires protection of content of democratic importance and journalistic content as well. I think this leads to difficulties itself. For example, who is a journalist? And if I just announce that I'm running for some form of parliament, do I then become, is everything I say of democratic importance? And so I think there's going to be huge fights around that, both in parliament and after. As to your point on misinformation, disinformation, there's relatively little in this bill, despite suggestions from the Joint Committee that there should be. And I think that this is one of the issues that MPs will seek to address through amendment, especially in the current geopolitical climate.
Well, thanks very much, Harry. It's been brilliant speaking to you today. I guess it remains to be seen what form exactly this bill takes and how it's implemented. I think UK Digital Minister Nadine Dorris said it well when she said harm, abuse and criminal behaviour had been left, in her words, to run riot on platforms. So I guess we'll wait and see as to whether this bill will make the sort of fundamental change that the government is looking for. And that brings us to the end of our latest Powers Court Friday fix. I hope our listeners have enjoyed what has been a really interesting chat with Harry this morning. We're taking a break for Easter next week, so we look forward to returning to the airwaves on Friday, the 22nd of April. Until then, bye for now.